Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Weldy. We have Aaron and Brandon here with us as always, and today I will be chatting with them about their thoughts and strategies around Weldy's branding and messaging. We have inserted snippets of a conversation they had with Naima Rashid. Naima, who is based in the UK, is the founder of Bloom, which is a branding studio for bold and restless brands. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks, Aaron and Brandon, for being here today. We are going to be talking about the conversation you had with Naima about branding and Weldy's messaging. But before we get into that, I want to ask, why did you both decide to reach out in the first place?
So I had met her on LinkedIn a while back. I can't remember exactly when or why we connected, but I'd been following her for a while. She'd been following me for a while. She'd been commenting on some of my posts. And then I think I made a post about branding. I can't remember exactly what it was, but she commented on it and said, basically, you know, reach out anytime if you have any more specific questions about branding, because that's essentially all she does for work. And we didn't really know too much about branding. And we thought it's, you know, it's pretty important for a consumer company, especially when you're competing against really, really strong brands like Nike or Adidas, for example. So we thought it would be good to talk to her and then basically see, you know, what should our plan be for branding? Should we invest in it sooner rather than later? Should we kick that can down the road a little bit? So that was kind of some of the motivation behind reaching out to her.
Yeah, she did have, there were a lot of interesting things that you guys talked about in your conversation. So we're going to play a snippet of that conversation where you're talking about Weldy's messaging versus Weldy's competitors.
Okay, so here's the thing. So the term I used, Aaron, was messaging matrix. So messaging matrix or messaging framework, basically. So it's like, you know, the structure, the foundation, which will inform everything from your website to your pitch deck to your marketing and your sales literature further down the road, as well as all your campaigns. So your documents, your initial document, did not mention anything about a competitor research. And I'm curious, you would have picked up on several of my comments asking for competitor research or asking for the insights from competitor research, because your product isn't built in a vacuum. And so your messaging is not in a vacuum either. Your messaging and your product is always relative to others in the market. So that's, I was curious about it from that point of view. When you say that you're speaking to or you're addressing a certain age group of children, what are the other products for that particular age group in the market? And what are they speaking to? What's their messaging?
So the main one is Nike. Nike is kind of like the huge brand in this space. And the way they talk to people, it's kind of like, it's very aspirational. So it's about, you know, there's an athlete in all of us. We can all strive to be like our favorite professional athletes or some of the most professional athletes or most, you know, famous professional athletes. And maybe we're not going to reach those same levels of athletic feats, but we can still, you know, be a professional in our own, or be like an athlete in our own sense. So maybe we're not going to run a marathon under 3 hours, but maybe we can cut our time in half from the time we start running, things like that. So I'd say Nike is more aspirational, and it's about trying to get as far as you can with the sport, whereas we're trying to talk to people more like, you know, it shouldn't really be about competition and all these things when you're a kid. I mean, it can be when you get a bit older, but when you're young, it's not really about getting the equipment that's the highest possible performance or that's going to make you look cool or make you feel like it's a status symbol or that you fit in. It's more about what is something that is going to be comfortable, that's going to fit, that's going to support me as I try all these different sports and activities. And it's more about kind of like celebrating. We want to be more about celebrating the here and now and just enjoying, you know, being a kid and where you're at versus constantly thinking about striving for, yeah, competition and striving for something that, you know, frankly, a lot of people are never going to achieve.
All right, cool. So, Aaron, I think this angle comes across pretty clearly in your messaging, in the story frameworks that you shared, because it was always about curiosity. It was always about enjoying the moment.
We just listened to a snippet from your conversation with Naima, where she asked about your positioning or your messaging in relation to your competitors. And Nike came up as a competitor that you are kind of moving away from that brand or that messaging that they have about competition and being an aspirational sports player. And Weldy is kind of taking a different approach to kids enjoying the here and now, not worrying about competition, just playing and enjoying themselves. So I just wanted to ask, why is that the messaging that you feel that Weldy should be putting out there? And another part of the importance for you guys is also fit and making sure that kids are comfortable. So I just wanted to explore that a little bit, because sports is a very competitive field in general. So I guess moving away from that message into like, let's be comfortable. Why is that important?
Well, for me, I would say, so me and Brandon both wear Nike. We've worn Nike in the past. We were both athletes that were striving to, you know, be better, be as good as we can, play at the highest level possible. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And that messaging does resonate with a lot of people, especially people who are pretty good at sports, and especially people as they get older and start playing more competitively. But the reason why we wanted to be differentiated and essentially talk more about having fun, enjoying the moment, teamwork, all that kind of stuff, is because there really aren't examples of sports brands that do that now. And a lot of people play sports and they don't go pro. They don't play in college. They might not even play for their high school varsity team. It's really about just having fun, learning those lessons when they're young, staying active. So we feel like there should be a brand for those people. So, you know, there's still going to be people who like Nike, who that messaging resonates with them, but we think there is room for a brand that kind of views things a little bit differently.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And just to add on to that, I think it's like the age group that we're dealing with as well. So we're talking about a fairly young kid, and this is a chance for them to go and explore different sports without the pressure of like performing at a very high level. So our shoe is meant to like be able to allow you to kind of do that very seamlessly. So I'll use the example of my daughters. Like, we throw them into like everything just to see like what they might like. So they'll do like gymnastics, they'll do swimming, soccer. Rylan, my youngest, she does like flag football. And the thing is just to go out there and just like have fun, interact with other kids, see if anything in the sport really like resonates with them that they enjoy doing. And then a lot of times after a week or so of doing it, we'll be on our way to one of these events and they're like, oh, daddy, I don't feel like playing soccer anymore. I don't want to, you know, so it just gives them an opportunity to do this without any kind of, I guess, pressure or being pushed or prodded in a certain direction. It gives them the chance to be free and just really have fun and kind of enjoy the sport at its, you know, its most like, basic level.
Yeah. And part of that is enjoying the sport while being comfortable. And I think that's a big part of Waldy's message, which is you want to create a shoe that fits the kids' feet right. And so it's kind of encouraging curiosity and comfort, which takes us to the second snippet that I'm going to share with you from your conversation with Naima, where she kind of redirects your target profile a little bit. So let's listen to that snippet and then we can talk about that.
Instead of thinking of the parents that you're addressing as two categories based on whether or not they played sports when they were young, I think it would make a lot more sense to address parents with a certain mindset. So there's one parents who are very competitive and they, you know, they want to instill competition and that aggression in their children. And then there's another set of parents who are more oriented towards curiosity. I would say that if you are to address parents, you should make a distinction based on their mindset, not based on the fact that they played sports or not when they were children. because it ties in directly with your positioning. And automatically, I think when you're addressing the mindset, you'll be picking out parents who are looking for those features, which talk about, and that whole trajectory of language, which talks about curiosity, exploration, and fun, rather than always competition, aggression, winning.
We just listened to that snippet, and I thought that was an interesting part of that conversation that you had with Naima. And here, Erin, you had talked about moving your focus away from competition and high performance to just kids enjoying playing and, you know, enjoying being kids, I guess. And you are describing your target parent, which is a parent who is not as focused on a parent who as a child had the experience of playing sports at a high level, didn't enjoy it as much, and wants their kids to have a different experience, versus parents who want their kids to, you know, play competitively. And part of the conversation you were having was whether that was a good way to put your target parents in subsets. And Naima kind of talked about rethinking that and thinking about parents based on their mindsets. I thought that was an interesting way to reshape your target profile. So what are your thoughts on that? What do you think about his suggestion and about your target market when it comes to parents and how they think about sports in general?
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense. And I think she's right that it's really about the attitude. It's not necessarily about whether the parent played sports growing up, how much they enjoyed playing sports, how positive their experience was. Because you could have someone who cares a lot about competition, but they were just not athletic at all. And then they want their kid to be, maybe their kid is athletic, and they're going to push them as hard as they can. Or you could have someone who is happened to be really athletic, but they're really easygoing, go with the flow. They were maybe a good athlete themselves, but they just want their kid to have fun, be curious, try different things out, learn some of these positive lessons that you learn through sports. So I think it makes sense to think about it in terms of attitude, not necessarily the person's past relationship with sports. And maybe still there's some kind of correlation between those two things. So maybe people who played sports super competitively just naturally are going to be more focused on competition because that's how they got to the level they got to. But I think it's difficult to do that segmentation. And I think it's much easier to just be like, certain messaging is going to resonate with a certain mindset. Other messaging is going to resonate with a different mindset. So I think that makes probably more, it just makes it easier on us, I think, in terms of the messaging. Because if you start thinking about messaging around, hey, we know you played sports in a certain way when you were younger, do you want your kid to play sports in the same way? That gets a lot more convoluted versus just saying, hey, do you care about your kid developing curiosity and being able to explore?
Yeah, I think it definitely did. And having, I think that type of attitude is something that we have kind of captured in our persona now. Like at the time when we were talking to her, maybe we weren't like, it wasn't reflected in our persona, but I don't think we've really had it like sketched out as we kind of have it as at the moment. So I think, yeah, it is kind of important to make sure that that's captured in the demographic that we feel is part of our target audience. But we also want to make sure that we're capturing a couple of other like tangible things, because as we build a product, it's going to be like something that's going to be physical. So we need to make sure that it resonates with a group of people and it's not so amorphous. I think I agree with that, that it definitely needs to be a part of that persona, that particular attitude.
Right. So has that influenced your market segments now? Are you guys still figuring that out?
I think it's hard. So this is something that probably we're going to have to do a little bit more research on in terms of targeted ads and things like that. But I think it's hard to get that granular in terms of like, let's try to focus on parents who value curiosity or parents who played sports, things like that. You have to get at it in different ways. So maybe it's a certain geography or people who have searched for certain terms, things like that. So we have to be creative about finding that target segment. We probably can't get so granular in terms of some of these different dimensions, but there are some things that are important to us that we're going to have to figure out. Like, how do we find parents who care about curiosity? How do we
find parents who care about putting their kid in a product that is high quality, even if it's a little bit more expensive? You know, how do we find parents who want their, who are active and want their kids to be active as well? So, like I said, that's something we have to do a little bit more research on, but I think it's going to be higher level targeting versus, we might have a target segment in mind, but I think it's going to be hard to target very, very specifically.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to hearing more about how you're breaking down your target and who you're going after in terms of whether it's only going to be parents with a certain mindset or parents with a different type of characteristic that Roddy cares about. So it'll be interesting to kind of see moving forward how you both shape that out and go about figuring out who your main targets are. But moving on to your conversation about your homepage, that was also a very interesting part of the conversation you had, where she was kind of giving you advice about how to capture people who visit your website and give them the important messages before kind of going into the granular benefits that Worldy has to offer. So let's listen to that, and then we can come back to discuss.
It's completely possible for the messaging on the homepage to be too high altitude. Like, for example, you want the parent, for example, just imagine, like Nike at this point, they're a very mature brand. So they can say something like, just do it, which has nothing to do with shoes or anything. But everybody knows what they mean. So you have to be very realistic about where you are. I'm not saying not be ambitious, no, but be very realistic. You don't want to confuse your visitors with messaging that is either talking about all the features at the same time, or which is too high altitude. You want to strike a balance between the two. Your primary messaging is supposed to play out. Like, you want to make a clear, dominant impression. You don't want to confuse the reader or the visitor. When somebody goes to your website, if I'm a mom and I'm going to your website, the purpose of the homepage should tell me that, okay, this is not for Nike moms. So I should immediately be able to identify with that. And then I get deeper into your website. I begin exploring. I go on a subpage. And that's where I probably see literature and images about this feature along with the size charts. Your above the fold section, your hero section, should give three clear points. One is, it's not for Nike moms. It's for curious, you know, it's for encouraging curiosity and play. And maybe a third message that you have. But two is also good. So that's what it should be aiming for. And the wording should not confuse them with talking about features all the time, all the features together. And it should not confuse them with being way too aspirational. And also, in building up this entire messaging, it's not just the words, it's the images, it's the angles, it's the, your images are evoking an emotion. So when you look at a Nike campaign, you have this ambition to be, you know, larger than life, be your best version, but you will probably steer away from those images and you will probably focus on images which evoke a sense of play, which evoke joyfulness and all of that, curiosity rather than competition. Your images are super powerful in this context because they will be strategically performing functions which your copy does not need to perform. If your images are clearly showing pictures of girls and boys, mixed groups, if your images are showing children in a playful state, in a happy state, they're evoking a sense of curiosity and love for, you know, fun and play, then your copy, it takes the responsibility off your copy.
So from the conversation that you had, Naima was talking about how you don't want to overwhelm visitors to your homepage with a lot of hype or too much information about the shoe. And it kind of felt like that was your plan in the beginning. But at the same time, Worldy is offering something that is differentiated from what the market currently, at least the big players in the market are offering. And you want to make sure that people who visit your website see that, at least in the first instance, that they get that information outright in the beginning. And so given what she was saying about placement of pain points or communications or even imagery, how are you guys thinking about that strategy that she offers, but specifically for Worldy? And
making sure that you're getting the information that is important to your audience as soon as possible.
I think now more than ever, people are just inundated with so many different advertisements, all this different information. So you really don't have a lot of time to get people's attention. So it's really important, I think, to have images that allow people to understand the product, what the brand stands for, and then kind of like the layout of the website, the colors, all that kind of stuff. We'll do that as well. So two of the things that we've thought about in terms of like when people go to the site, how do we get their attention? How do we communicate some of the value propositions super quickly? One of the ideas that Brandon had was you could have an image or kind of like a mountain of athletic shoes, of kids' athletic shoes. So a soccer cleat, a basketball shoe, a running shoe, a volleyball shoe, whatever it is. And then you do some kind of animation and then it just turns into one shoe, which is our shoe, which indicates kind of two things. The first one being that it's just a lot less hassle because it's one shoe for essentially every athletic activity. And then there's also the sustainability piece there that instead of consuming 4, 5, 6 shoes, whatever it is, you could just have buy one and that leads to less waste. And another thing that we've thought about is potentially having some kind of background. So you could imagine starts off as a field and then there's a kid playing soccer. And then almost like they look kind of like a sticker. You peel them off. The background might change to a basketball court, for example. And then you see a sticker appear or like kind of placed on the basketball court as a kid playing basketball. The scene changes to another environment. Then there's another kind of like kid sticker that goes on. So that's a way to basically say for all these different sporty environments or athletic environments, our shoe is going to work. It's really for everybody because if that imagery is diverse, if there's girls, if there's boys, there's people of different races, if they look different, that also kind of communicates that. And then we're hoping that if we do that kind of thing, it also allows kids to kind of like see themselves in the product. Like, oh, I could see myself in that environment, and parents could feel like, oh, I could see my kid being in these shoes in this environment as well, because increasing access, increasing participation, diversity, inclusion, all that kind of stuff matters to us. So we want to communicate that, but at the same time, not pander or anything like that. So those are two ideas that we've had, but I'll let Brandon kind of add on top of that.
I think to add on to those ideas, we also wanted to make the site itself a bit more interactive, because as Aaron was kind of mentioning, you kind of get bombarded, like I guess the typical consumer gets bombarded with a bunch of different advertisements that have a bunch of different information and kind of like pulling you in a certain direction. And we think that allowing the consumer to kind of interact with the site a bit more, maybe add things to it, or maybe be able to manipulate in some way the imagery or whatever it might be, will kind of like be a different take on getting people involved or getting people experienced with the brand. So I think that's another thing that we wanted to do. And then that like gets us an opportunity to get helpful feedback so that we can make the product, make the service a bit more tailored, a bit better for the consumer and the consumer's experience. And then it kind of like head nods to what we kind of want to do in the future in terms of like having stores that are also like experiences themselves going in and being able to actually do other things besides just pick up a shoe and try it on. We want it to be a little bit more of a relationship kind of a deal. So the website should kind of reflect that at the beginning.
And then just one other thing to add, we're working with a design and branding agency right now, and we're going through a pretty rigorous process, which includes redesigning the logo, getting our color palette, thinking about what type of images we include on the site or promotional materials, ads, things like that. So there are a few kind of like unique things that we're thinking about there. We just have to develop that out a little bit more. And then hopefully the website will reflect some of that new branding at some time, at some point in the next few months or so.
Right. And just to go off that, is the website going to be user-friendly for kids as well, because kids are going to be the main users of your product? Or is it mainly for the parents who are buying the kids' shoes? How are you thinking about designing the website, thinking about or taking that into consideration?
So one of the things that our design and branding agency basically said is that our current website looks a little bit too much like it's almost like too kid friendly, to the point that it doesn't look super professional. And when a parent goes there, they're not necessarily going to think, oh, these guys really know what they're doing when it comes to designing a shoe. So that's one of the things that we're focusing on. And they had a specific quote. I don't know if I'll get it perfect, but I think it was, we are a kids brand, but we're not kids. So it's thinking about how do we make this clear that it's for kids, the designs, the logo, the images appeal to kids, they're kid friendly. But when the parent goes to the website, they're like, okay, this is professional, this is sleek, this is a serious brand, this is not kind of like an amateurish website or design, things like that. So that's a kind of a fine distinction, but that's something that we're working on as well.
Yeah. And kind of going back to like that Dave conversation, when he mentioned that there's like 9 touch points that a parent has. So the parent, we anticipate being the initial person who's going to get on the website. So they're going to be the one who sees it. And more than likely, it'll probably be like the mom or whatever. And they'll get on it, they'll check it out. And then more than likely, they'll get off because they'll have to go back and talk to their partner or whatnot. And then eventually they'll introduce the kid potentially to that particular shoe while it's on the site, be like, oh yeah, you check this out, you know, we're thinking about ordering this or whatever the conversation may go. And so I think part of the interactive tools should be kind of set up for the kids, but mostly it's going to be for the parents, a chance to kind of get them acquainted with the brand and like really like being immersed in the website. But we definitely want to have something that caters to the kids. So like Aaron said, we're a kids brand, but it's not, you know, not something that's going to be built by kids. So we should reflect some kind of like, I don't know what to call it. Professionalism. I don't know.
And just building on that again, we've thought a decent amount about the unboxing experience. So when the shoe actually shows up at your house and the kid and the parent are opening the box together, how do you make that a fun experience for the kid? And there's some other brands in the kids space that have, and adult products too, that really focus on that. And there's some kind of cool examples out there. But something else we can do is try to make the kind of like purchase process fun for kids as well. So looking into ways of adding maybe like fun animations or games to the website, or as soon as you make a purchase, there's some digital asset that you get, so you don't have to wait until the box comes to get that first kind of interaction with the brand. So that's just another thing that we're thinking about. And I mean, with kids, there's so many things that you can do. There's a lot of ways that you can do fun things for them. So it's just about getting creative and trying to do it also in a way where it's valuable to the kid. It's fun, but it's not breaking the bank on our end.
This sounds like really cool ideas. We'll be looking forward to seeing how that website shapes up. But let's pivot a little bit into a part of the conversation you guys had with Naima about Worldy and sustainability.
You will agree with me, Brandon and Aaron, that sustainability and diversity are such overused terms that they practically mean nothing. So if anyone makes any claim about diversity or sustainability, my bullshit detectors go on alert. Obviously, because if they're overused, abused terms, they mean nothing. So I would definitely say that stay away from sustainability in your primary messaging. Maybe there should be a dedicated section like a CSR or a sustainability page or subpage within a page or a section. And even when you talk about your sustainability commitment there, don't use fancy or high-level language. Get specific about if you are sustainable or if that's a commitment, how are you practicing it in the everyday? Are you not wasting shoes? I really don't know anything about the industry, so I'm just like guessing. Are you avoiding waste? Are you compensating people differently across the production chain? What exactly is it that you're doing? And another recommendation, I'm not sure whether this is the right time or whether you're equipped from the point of view of budget, but instead of talking a lot about your sustainability commitment, it would make so much sense to instead have illustrations. Like if there are 3 points, specifically worded points, like we don't waste and we compensate our the people along the production chain very well, they should be illustrated. The reason is that people have so much fatigue around literature and talk around sustainability. You just want to make it as short and as clear as quickly as possible. Because you know what? In today's day and age, saying that we are sustainable is basically saying we are not murderers. Of course you're sustainable. Of course you're sustainable. I mean, we all care for the planet, right? So I think that it should go to a dedicated space, which maybe you don't have to call it CSR, maybe you can call it sustainability or something. You can word it slightly differently, but it definitely doesn't belong on the homepage. And I like the fact that you're clear about it. So it goes in its own neat slot somewhere on the website.
So Naima talks about her skepticism with sustainability, and you know, she talks about diversity as well, but there was a sense of greenwashing and people kind of seeing through that type of messaging. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on how, and you talked about that a little bit in that conversation, but I wanted you to share that here about how Waldi is thinking about the message it's going to be sending to its audience, specifically about sustainability, that is a message that is not too over people's heads or just what we've been hearing in the media all the time, but something that your audience finds to be tangible and they can grasp and easily understand and really see the impact that Waldi intends to have with this shoe. And I just wanted to hear what you guys are thinking about on that specific matter or issue.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the approaches, and perhaps like the single approach that we're going to take to that, because greenwashing is a major thing, especially in this industry, and a lot of companies try to lead with that. I think our idea is to be as honest and transparent as possible about our processes and like what we do and how we source, so that people can kind of see, engage for themselves. It's not like we're going to, you know, make any kind of radical claims or anything like that on the site. It's just a matter of just allowing people to be a part of the process by getting a chance to see how we do things. And again, that's how we want to, you know, that's how we want to be in the future as well. We want to be able to like have people kind of like look behind the curtain and see like how are these shoes being made and how are they impacting, whether positively or negatively, the environment. So
yeah, greenwashing is something, and I mentioned this a little bit in the conversation, but greenwashing is something that I am concerned about, because I think there's a lot of brands out there who just pander to try to get more customers. So as a minority, for example, whenever I hear brands talk about issues related to the Black community, I'm thinking they don't really care. They're just trying to say this to get more Black customers, things like that. So I never really want to be a brand like that. And I think one of the ways that you avoid that is focusing on really concrete facts. So instead of saying we really care about the environment and having these nice photos of kids and their parents in pristine environments in nature, you kind of say, this is what we're doing on sustainability. This is why this shoe is more sustainable than other shoes on the market. These are kind of our sustainability goals. And then this is what we're doing to try to meet those goals. And here's how we're tracking against them over time. So tracking as well, being transparent and honest about all that stuff. And then just kind of in the near term, one of the easy ways that we can touch on sustainability is talking about this multi-purpose aspect of the shoe. So instead of buying 3 or 4 different pairs of shoes for all these different athletic activities, you're only buying one pair of shoes. And that means fewer shoes are ending up in the landfill. And then something else that we're focusing on is durability. So one of the things that we hear is kids go through shoes super, super quickly, even before they outgrow them. So if we can design the shoe to last for longer, then one kid can wear it for longer, and then potentially you open up opportunities for resale or donation, and then that shoe is just being used for a lot longer. The life of the shoe is significantly extended. So that's another way to think about sustainability. And just last point is sustainability is, it's just one part of our mission. So it's extremely important to us, but there's a lot of different things that we want to do to kind of make the world a better place. So if we focus on all of those things, then hopefully people won't view some of the sustainability points as greenwashing.
Yeah. And I'm sure parents will also like to have more storage space that is not filled up with shoes their kids are not using. So that's great. But thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on your branding and just how you're thinking about your messaging as Weldy. We are looking forward to seeing what comes out of all these discussions and all the things you're thinking about. I think you guys are onto something, and there's definitely a market out there looking for the solutions you're providing. So we will take a pause over here and look forward to our next conversation with you guys in the near future. Bye for now.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
Thanks.